Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everybody, welcome to The Big Question. Jamie and I are here with Tom Redwood, chef and founder of Babies, the baby food product.
Delicious, by the way.
Delicious, as we found out in our main episode.
Yeah.
So Tom has relatively recently gone through the process of becoming a dad. Only 8 weeks ago. So the big question for today is how much input should a dad have in pregnancy and childbirth?
Ooh.
I'm opening the floor up, guys.
Yeah. Well, Tom, do you want to... I mean, this is all much more prevalent fresh in your mind than it probably is in ours.
It is, yeah. So it was only 8 weeks ago. Weirdly, it feels like a long time ago in a weird kind of... Yep. Like, it's hard to imagine not having little Alex around. But I guess, I think it's the first time in my life anyway, and I'm guessing it's the same for most dads, where you've are faced with the situation where there's lots of decisions to be made along the way.
Yeah.
You know, what you eat, how you eat, where you eat, how you're going to give birth, whether you're going to breastfeed, whether you're going to formula feed, whether, you know, what, you know, there's loads of these kind of... quite difficult decisions to make.
That you've never had to make before.
Yeah, or maybe even never spoken about before. Mm. I mean, I think working in the baby food world, you know, I'm exposed to it to some extent, but still I've never had to make a decision. But then obviously you're then faced for the first time where I'm like, yeah, of course we're going to have a home birth. And then you look over at your partner and she's like looking with you with deaf eyes saying, no, we're not. And I'm like, but it's so natural. It's like the perfect... way to bring a baby into this world. And, you know, so you're kind of like, it's quite a, because it's my child, it's her child, it's our child.
Yeah.
Yet it's Joanna's body and Joanna's kind of has to do all the hard work. And so there was quite a few of these difficult decisions that we made. And I think the whole experience, I mean, I don't know what you guys, but the whole experience was completely 1,000 times different to what I thought it was going to be.
Right.
Did you go to NCT classes?
I did, yes.
Because one of the things that we were told during the NCT was that obviously, you know, like it's the mum that has to make a lot of these decisions about birth and stuff. But like if you make a birth plan as the dad, your role is to try to... This is what they, you know, the person leading it said. At the point when you know, things... hit the fan and you're, you know, the baby starts coming, obviously at some point the mum maybe, you know, she's not thinking as clearly as she might have done, so your job is to sort of try to sort of like push things in the direction that you'd pre-agreed from the birth plan.
Yeah,
so that's what I tried to do, but I'm still paying for that.
I'm still blamed.
Alice still brings it up, the fact that I didn't let her have an epidural.
Right. Yes.
She's still.
Because, you know, we obviously went through the whole conversation about do you have an epidural, don't you have an epidural? And there were people in our NCT class who were like, damn straight, like, I'm booking in. Can I book in for it? I want an epidural. Yeah, yeah. And both Joanna and I were quite not... anti-epidural, but let's try be as natural as we can be. But as soon as we're in that room and she was screaming for an epidural, and I was like, okay, We need an epidural here fast, yeah. You know, and it's just amazing how you change your kind of.
Well, like, see, I kept saying no.
Wow, strong.
No, I didn't actually. Yeah. No, I'm making it. So that's the thing. She brought it up the other day, and she's misremembering it, because although I kind of got the sense from what was happening that the baby was like coming, mm-hmm. right? And it was the midwife who was giving me that impression. The midwife who kept saying, "Come on, you can do it. You don't need that. You don't need it." Like, because I think mm-hmm. I could sense that she thought the baby was like, you know, minutes away, and it, as it turns out, it was, relatively speaking.
Right.
So I didn't want to kind of like say, "Oh, let's just do it," because you know, if once you have the epidural, it can like slow things mm-hmm. up again.
Yeah.
But like Alice's memory is that I was the one saying she couldn't have one. So.
I think there's, you know, I think going back to how much of a say can you have, and I think it's a tricky one, because I think you want to be the one kind of going, "Oh, I read this book who said this, and I read someone I know did this," and I mean, it's sod all really in the day, because it's going to be, you know, what, you know, your partner wants and feels most comfortable and happy doing, and that's exactly how it should be. But I think there are other things that you can kind of concentrate your efforts on, in which you've got to pick your battles, basically, haven't you? Is what I'm trying to say. And I think
I think you just have to go with it a bit, because that, like, every single labor birth experience is different. Every, like, you know, the amount of parents that I speak to, and everyone's got a story. Like, we've all got a story, but everyone's story is different.
Yeah.
And so I think you just have to try and be as open-minded and flexible as you can be. But, you know, you are still faced with those idealistic views, you know, even when it comes to breastfeeding, you know, 100% breastfeeding, you know, we've been told the breast is best, et cetera, et cetera. But actually, not everyone can breastfeed. And so it's about trying to remove that guilt. Because, you know, if you choose not to breastfeed, then you shouldn't feel guilty. And if you can't breastfeed, you shouldn't feel guilty. But then if you do want to breastfeed, you also, there's so much guilt in parenting. It's mad.
Well, you know, the breast is best was a slogan that the formula companies came up with back in the day.
Really?
Yeah.
How bizarre. Why would a formula company...
Because their whole thing is like, you should always breastfeed.
Right.
But if you can't or you don't want to...
Breast is best, but we're kind of second.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
So, wow, there we go.
No one should feel guilty about that, I don't think. You're giving me a blank look.
No, it's just like, it's quite a smart marketing slogan, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you think, they care about us.
They know about us. Yeah.
They must be trustworthy.
But so, what other thing? Like, what are you taking control of? What kind of things have you? Because I think it's good too. Like, we've talked about the mental load before, and it's mm-hmm. very easy for guys to kind of go, "Well, this isn't my remit." So this is the flip side of guys to kind of go, "Well, I don't want to make any decision because I don't have to." Because you know, even after birth, you know, to kind of go, "Well, I'm not the mum, so I don't have to do it." Like, what are you? I'm food, obviously, right?
Yeah, well, hopefully when it comes to that, I'm going to be quite heavily involved with the food. But Ioana, again, being Greek, is very into her food. And her mum, who's already been over quite a few times from Greece, is definitely into her food. So I think we're not going to have any problems with there being food around. I think you slip into a supportive role, because like, there's not much breastfeeding I can do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, we do express, and so I do give the odd bottle, which is really nice. I didn't think I'd like it, and I was kind of anti bottles at first, but then actually, when the first time you give your little one and his eyes are looking at you as you're holding it, it's kind of like, oh, that's a special moment.
I'm helping.
Yeah, I'm helping. But you know, I do as much as I can, I guess, you know.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a war zone occasionally, down particularly in the nappy area. But, you know, you just got to roll your sleeves up and get your hands dirty.
So what other decisions are that, what would you say is kind of, if you're comparing like the, what you had in your mind is in like the ideal compared with reality, what did you think you would take control of that maybe hasn't been the way?
Well, I think it was more kind of during the pregnancy about foods to eat, foods to avoid.
Yeah.
In labor, it was, do we go natural or do we intervene with the medical support that's available. They were the areas that I thought I would be completely pro one way and kind of, you know, quite adamant, come on, like you, going, come on, you can do it.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the moment, I was totally, whatever you need, come on, let's get through this. Mm. Because it is quite traumatic.
I was
going
to say, do you think that was down to fear of kind of, oh, we don't want anything
we
to
had
wrong.
The alarm bells going, heartbeat dropping, really? Kind of like surgeons running in, but then not having a, like it was, without going into too much detail, it was, Joanna's amazing. Yeah. Like, I don't, hats off to, when you see what mums go through to deliver our children, I mean, it's incredible. Mm. And so, and then I guess kind of after that, you've got the whole breast or bottle. Do you introduce formula? And again, I am slightly skewed from the chef's point of view, from flavour trying to. But I think luckily, ultimately, at the moment, we're doing quite well with, you know, we're having a few hiccups with the feeding, but there's amazing support out there. Mm. I'm trying not to not be too controversial in
That's fine.
We love controversy.
You love controversial. No, no, I mean, to be honest with you, I think it's just a lot of learning in the early days, isn't there? And the whole kind of, do parent-in-law come over? When do they come over, particularly?
See, I think that's the thing. I think that's one of the main roles that I found I wasn't expecting to have, was being the, as they say, the gatekeeper of, like, knowing when to have people over and knowing when to kind of go no, especially family. But it's tough because you want to kind of go, no, I want everyone to see, but then it's exhausting, you know, being a mum. And
then when we introduced bottles to try and help Joanna with the recovering of all the soreness, again, maybe too much information, but, you know, we've all been there. Well, we haven't. But,
I haven't.
You know, the whole kind of, do we sterilise or don't we sterilise question came up, and because that's, again, quite controversial.
Okay.
And I know...
Is it?
Well, I think most people choose to sterilise. Yeah. I think it's kind of... But we had a doctor that advised us that we didn't need to, and so I'm not telling anyone that to not sterilise. Everyone
that's
people,
just not what you
do. No, yeah, and it's kind of... But there was that whole kind
Is that doctor still practising?
Was it Seth? Was it Dr. Seth?
That name does ring a bell. But, yeah, and I guess one thing that I'm dreading is the whole nursery and school conversation. Yeah. Like, when you kind of... Do you... You know, move house to get closer to a school,
right,
or do
you? Yeah. Well, if you want to do that, you better start thinking about it soon.
I know, but that's the scary thing. People are talking about it already, and I'm just, my mind's just so far away from their the schooling side of things. Mm. You know, you're obviously trying to stimulate with books and different, like, sounds and textures, but the whole kind of education thing is a whole different world that I do hear we got to start thinking about soon.
Yeah. So what would you say is the one thing you'll put your foot down over? Like, is like, no, this is the way we're going to do it. Seth, did you have anything that you kind of...
That's a good question. You know what? Toothbrushing, in fact, is the thing that Alice always forgets to do it. Yeah, like we've got a little toothbrush for Eliza. Yeah. And I'm the one that always is like, no, we've got to do it.
Have you
done the... I'll be like, so should we do it in the bath? Right, and I'll come in if Alice is giving him a bath. Like, have you done the two? No?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll do it.
Yep. Yep.
So is that because she doesn't like it? So you're pulling it off?
Yeah. Initially she didn't like it, so it was a bit of a kind of a trial to actually get it done. But you don't have to do it properly. It's just about, as we were saying before, just kind of getting the sensation of the toothbrushing. And but not too many things. I mean, she's still so small, but like there's things like TV, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, will you? I remember, like, I met a friend of mine, whose kid's now like, I don't know, how old is he now? Like 13 or something, I think. It's a long time ago. He said to me before he was born, he's like, yeah, we're gonna ditch the TV. We're not gonna watch any TV in the house. And the year that he was born, he must be 12. Because it was the World Cup year. And my mate was like, we'll just get a TV for the World Cup. And then the TV stayed.
Yeah.
So that was a load of bollocks.
See, I think that's going to be, that's the thing that I'm...
The iPad, isn't it? With the
getting an iPad.
Yeah, you say that.
No, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm just not on that.
Well, I'm also, because I'm also kind of, if you can be... anti-iPad. I mean, I think iPads are great for what they, you know, but, you know, you do see kids kind of fixated to it. Yeah. But then you have friends who are really good friends and they are like, I challenge you to not move to the iPad. You know, when you've got a screaming kid, and you know, all you need to do is pull out Percy Pig or whatever.
It's Percy Pig, man. Yeah. It's like crack for those kids. Yeah. Honestly, I don't know what it is. I've watched it. I don't get it. What I have also watched is, was it In the Midnight? No, what's it called? In the Midnight Garden? In the Garden?
Right, yeah.
Is that what it's called?
I think so.
I watched that once. That's like crack for adults.
Oh, really?
That's what I said.
Peppa Pig. Percy Pig is... Yeah, that's right.
Peppa Pig.
Sorry. Yeah, sorry. Clearly got that to come.
Yeah, Percy Pig's the M&M.
Don't give your kids Percy Pig.
No. Sorry. Tom just held up a sign saying Peppa.
Peppa Pig. Yeah.
Peppa Pig is like crack for those kids. No, do you know what winds me up more than anything is in restaurants when you see kids who are old enough to know better with the phone. I don't say old enough to know better. They probably don't know better when they're like 7, 8. They probably don't know
better. But what are you like in a restaurant without a phone? Like, are you good? Are you someone that has your phone on that, like I do here?
No.
You have it in your pocket?
I genuinely think it's the height of rudeness.
Good for you.
Like in a pub with your mates or whatever. But no, I can't. Because it's sending out the message that if someone else contacts me that's more important than you, I'll stop paying attention to you.
Yeah.
It drives me insane. Like phones in general, I want to get rid of my iPhone. I won't, but I want to.
My brother went for a Nokia, like downgraded to
I've been thinking of doing that.
Just to get a phone that rings.
Yeah. If someone wants to get a hold of me, they'll call me or text me, but I don't need everything else on it.
Apart from fantasy football.
Yeah. And Instagram. So I think that's one thing I'm going to put my foot down on in terms of the TV consumption at a young age.
The screen is bad because you're totally right. Like there are points where obviously, you know, you've got a screaming child, you're on an aeroplane or something, you just need something, fine. But you do see, like,
I think that's different on an aeroplane. It's different
on it constantly. Like,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, I was in Hong Kong and there was someone being pushed, like a toddler, I'd say maybe 2 to 3 in a buggy, and she had a thing around her neck. With a harness for an iPad.
Oh my God.
No.
Yeah. That was a new extreme for me, you know. Oof. Yeah.
Nah.
Not getting away from that.
No.
Maybe we should get one of those for Dad Tech.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.